I'm not used to the battery pack being on that side. And I can't find the pocket. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It only looks up from here. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord on this God's Sabbath and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. A special welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream. It is good that we can share the ministry of St. John's, both here in our congregation, in our town in which we live, and with those who join us from wherever you may be. So a welcome to you. Before we begin worship, a few brief announcements just to underscore some of the things that have been before you on the screen. A reminder that next Sunday we will be celebrating our congregational anniversary, and our guest preacher for next Sunday will be the Reverend Dr. Jonathan Dent. Jonathan was the associate minister here back in the 90s, so some of you will remember him from then. Much nicer hair back then. He had beautiful hair in the 90s, right? He did. Go look at the picture. It was dark brown. He was a handsome man. He's still handsome, but like all of us, he's a little grayer. But we look forward to welcoming Jonathan next week and his being part of our worship service. And then on June the 9th, we have a special service of worship that is part of the City of Cornwall's 240th anniversary, so you will want to be here for that. We will be worshiping in what would have been the historical style that would have been used here at St. John's, or, well, not this St. John's, not here St. John's, over there St. John's, 240 years ago. So be here for that, and we look forward to welcoming some special guests from the reenactments that will be happening in town on that weekend. And then on the 23rd, it is Graduate Sunday. So if you know of a high school graduate from the congregation, please let us know that they're graduating so that we can reach out to them and get a grad photo, or you can just give them that friendly reminder that we will be looking for that to include in the presentation following worship, or during worship that day. And finally, choir practice after today for our special anthem for next week. So with that, that is all of the announcements, and Cynthia has the session summary. I remembered.
You remembered. Good morning. It's almost like we planned this because you noted all of the announcements that you missed the ones that I've got. It was like it was planned. Session met on Tuesday, May 14th, and Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Romans 3, 21 to 26, which talks about the grace of God and the gift of salvation that he gives to us. This shapes our church life and ministry as we go out into the world. The Leading with Care policy of the Presbyterian Church in Canada has been revised. Wes Libby, Laura McFadzen, and Reverend Adams attended a workshop to review the new document. In the fall, Dan Plant, who chairs the Leading with Care Committee, will bring a team together to address some of the requirements of this policy. A gift in memory of David Hickey was received from Audrey and her family, and we thank them for their generosity in honor of David. Susan McDonald reported that the calendar is very full with events in May and June. Please watch the bulletin and announcements on the screens and consider participating in the fun. Please watch for the following events. The McGaughey Organ Concert will take place on May 24th at 7 p.m. This concert is a free will offering. The Intergenerational Bowling Fun Day Friday is on May 24th at 6 p.m. Please contact Trish or Laura if you are interested in participating. We will also be having a Welcome to Summer Supper on Saturday, June 22nd at 5:30 in Caldwell Hall. This event is being co-sponsored by the Faith and Nurture team and Session. The dinner will include ham, brisket, a variety of salads, all the fixings, and strawberry shortcake for dessert. 75 seats are available, so make sure to reserve your spot soon. Tickets are $20 and will be on sale after the Sunday service and in the office. Trish Brown, fundraising chair, reported that the fundraising team has been busy brainstorming ideas. The goal is to offset the potential budget deficit of $25,000 through various events and activities throughout the year. Finally, we announced earlier that we were addressing the issues of Domino's drivers and customers parking along our west lane. It is very important for everyone to know that ticketing has begun. So if you are coming to the church and park on the west lane, please come into the office right away and get a blue parking pass to display on your dash so that you do not get a ticket. Again, it's really important. We don't want anybody who is here on business ending up with a ticket. So it's just a little blue thing. You can put it on your dashboard. Thank you.
And if you're geographically challenged like I am, the west lane is that one. Stop trying. No wonder I'm geographically challenged. It's that one. The turnout off of St. John's Lane. We light the Christ candle as we gather in worship as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are Christ's people seek to walk in his light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Come, let us speak plainly and boldly of our faith.
The Spirit of God descends upon us, and Christ's promise to us is fulfilled.
The expression of the Spirit's power in our community is a wonder to behold.
We each have a different voice, yet we witness God's joy together. Amen.
Amen. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, through your Spirit you have called us, many different people from many different places, united in your love, united in your service. Be with us this day and receive our praise. Make us bold to proclaim the wonder of your love to all who would hear. May we do so in all we say and do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our hymn for this morning, our opening hymn for this morning is All People That on Earth Do Dwell. We're good. The hymn is number 65 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Oh,
Please be seated. Friends, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, interceding with sighs too deep for words. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screen. O God, as your Spirit filled the church on the first Pentecost today, so fill this house of worship with your presence and fill us with your passion. You are doing a new thing, actively moving in the world. Forgive us when we act as if your stories have all been written. You hear the prayers of every language and call us to hear each other. Forgive us when we act as if your Spirit only spoke our native tongue. Wash us in your grace, O God, and illumine us with your fire. Send us out to follow your Spirit and teach us to hear the prayers of all your people. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of God's promise. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, says the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is number 400 in the Book of Praise, Spirit of the Living God, number 400 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears on the screen. Preston, you going to come up this morning? Janiyah, anybody else that needs to come up this morning? I see ya. I saw ya. Come and have a seat. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Good to have you here this morning. This is a special day in a church, in our church. It's a special day in the church worldwide. Do you know what it is? It's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Funny name, isn't it? Do you know what it means? Sounds really kind of exotic, doesn't it? It means 50 days. Not really very exciting, is it? 50 days. Do you know what it's 50 days from? No. 50 days after Easter. 50 days after Easter. And something special happened on 50 days after Easter. Wait. That was Easter, yeah. Good Friday and Easter, and Jesus rose on Easter. And then 50 days later, Jesus gave to the church the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moves in people's hearts so that we can believe in God. It moves in our hearts as believers that we can share the good news about Jesus. And so, and we get red. So all of our stuff on the screens today is red. Red. My stole this morning is red. With yellow and orange on it too, because that just really picks up. At the bottom? It's red at the bottom. Yes. And red tassels. Right? And so we often think of the Spirit as a dove. So we've got the dove. The story of Pentecost talks about how the Spirit landed on the disciples who were around, and it was like flames of fire. So we got fire, and of course then Peter told the story of the cross. And so there's the cross. So that's all of these symbols, and the symbol that we have on our screens today matches those symbols too, right? And do you know what the most amazing thing was on the first Pentecost Sunday when the church received the Spirit for the first time? They spoke different languages, but everybody understood. Amazing, eh? Do we have people in this church this morning who speak a different language? Do you speak a different language? I'm always envious of people who speak a different language. I tried to learn French in high school, and I failed. I was terrible at it. I tried to do it again in university. Still didn't work. I think I have to move somewhere where they only speak French, and I either starve or learn. That's how it works. What languages do you speak? You speak English, yeah?
And my dad is from Ghana in Africa.
Right.
He speaks a different language
than my mom. Mm-hmm. He speaks a different language from your mom, or your mom and your dad both speak a different language that's the same language? Because hopefully you talk to each other, Patrick. Well, I'm going to ask if... And I know we have some people who speak Korean. If somebody could speak Korean, could come up for a minute. Who wants to come? Alice, come on up. I'll pick on Alice. Nobody else is going to come, Alice, so I'm going to ask you. And maybe if Patrick would come up. I'm going to put people on the spot this morning. And... Jennifer, Elizabeth, would one of you come up? Because I know they speak Swahili. And I'm guessing Anita speaks French. Was that your other language, Anita? No, Dutch. Dutch. Come on up. You put your hand up. A French speaker. Do we have a French speaker in the house this morning? Usually we do. Who are you throwing under the bus, Capo? Oh, Michelle, come on up, Michelle. And Clement, come forward. Okay, I'm going to grab a microphone. Got where I put it. Now, it's a very simple thing I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm going to ask you, and I know there are different languages all along here. So just remind us of the language you are going to speak. And a very simple thing. Every morning when we come to church, we greet each other, right?
Yeah.
and we say hello, or we say good morning, right? So if we were in a different church, in a church where you spoke a different language, how would you greet the fellow worshipers on a Sunday morning? Just a simple, how would you say hello or say, we're glad you're here? And remind us of the language we speak.
In French?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. In French, we might say, bonjour, comment ça va, bienvenue à l'église.
In Korean, 안녕하세요, 좋은 아침입니다.
So in Ghana, there are so many languages. The popular one is Chi, which is where we come from. So in the Presbyterian Church, we say, peace be unto you. But if you, I want to translate that, it will be, Rade Asumjuenkao.
In Kenya, we have Kiswahili and English. And in Swahili, we say, Habari asubuhi watumishi wa Mungu.
Well, in the Netherlands, we have Dutch, a little bit of Frisian in the north, but that's I don't speak that. And we say, Goeiemorgen, heb een goeie zondag.
In Cameroon, where I come from, we have about 300 different ethnic languages. And the main is English and French, but where I come from, I speak Mungaka. So to say welcome to Christian people, you said, Miayin, Bilandie Bon Nikop.
Perfect. Yes, give them all a hand, because none of them knew they were coming up this morning. So I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for being here and for just reminding us that the church, while sometimes we all look the same or think we are the same, is this wonderful tapestry of people. And we're so glad that you are part of the tapestry of our church. Thank you for coming up, and you can go forward. And so we will remember that, right? That we are such a wonderful and diverse church, and we have different languages, and there's always place for new people in the church. So I'm going to let Laura's taking you down this morning. So Laura's there at the back if you want to go meet up with her. And as we prepare to hear God's word, let us bow our heads in prayer. God of power and grace, fill us with the wisdom of your word and the understanding of your spirit so that we may be your church, a people with dreams and visions at work in all the world. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The hands of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and I prophesied, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bone came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, O breathe and breath upon these slain, and they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet in vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. A responsive reading from Psalm chapter 104, from verses 24 to 34. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them. You have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping things.
Innumerable are there, living things, both small and great.
There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed and to sport in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season.
When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hands, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they're dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord
endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains, they smoke?
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Romans chapter 8, from verses 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption and redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hope for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with signs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Our hymn is number 384 in the Book of Praise. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Number 384, or as the words appear on the screen.
Breathe on your
And we read this morning the story of that first Pentecost as it is given to us in Acts chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 21. Let us listen for God's word to his people. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared upon them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Lord gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya beyond the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Aren't you glad I didn't give you that reading to read, Julie? I never give that reading to anybody else to read with all of those biblical place names in it. After about being 10 years in ministry, I just discovered one year when I was really looking at the list quite carefully that I was actually saying one of the words wrong. So, just to be fair to people, nobody likes the biblical names. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So where were we? Yes, we were in Jerusalem. It seems that we've come full circle. The story of the post-Easter church begins with the unbelieving disciples imprisoned by their fear in the upper room. And it ends with the unprepared disciples being ordered by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the promise from the Father. But this time, with the promise that they will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's impossible to separate the day of ascension, what we spoke about in worship last week, and the day of Pentecost, the focus of our worship this morning. Pentecost is the realization of that promise of God of which Jesus spoke in last week's texts. The power and the authority given by God to be bold and to share the good news. But there are a couple of other connections that link these 2 days, these 2 events, and these 2 chapters from the book of the Acts of the Apostles together. As it turns out, last week we heard Jesus say that the disciples would have to wait in Jerusalem and then they would go out to the whole world. As it turns out, the whole world came to Jerusalem. The world had come to Jerusalem where the disciples were just sitting there waiting. You see, Pentecost isn't just a Christian thing. The Jewish people of Jesus' day also had a feast day, 50 days following the celebration of the Passover. And so as we read this morning of the Spirit descending upon the disciples and their proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ to this diverse group of people from all across the known world, these people have gathered in Jerusalem for this harvest festival that happens 50 days after the Passover. And as Luke records in the Acts of the Apostles, each of these people, of these groups of people, people from various areas and nations, hear the disciples' witness in their own language. And in that moment as of mystical union where all people are gathered together in one and hear the same proclamation at the same time, in that moment, the disciples are given a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And if you remember last week, the disciples were asking Jesus, weren't they? They were asking Jesus, when exactly is God going to usher in his kingdom? And last week, Jesus' response was, well, that it was not for them to know the time and the periods, but God, under God's own authority, would make these things happen. And yet, here we are this morning. And all of those things that we use to divide ourselves one from another, nationality, religious belief, language, all of them are stripped away. The curse of Babel is undone, and everyone receives God's message of salvation. How are we to understand the events that are outlined here in this text? It is no easy task. Just as the resurrection on Easter Sunday was no easy task, nor was Jesus' ascension last week. Every time that God intervenes in the human realm to do something that is beyond our experience and our understanding, we are left as humans without language to describe the indescribable God. And so too were those who experienced on this day. You know, sometimes we like to think, gee, if only we had been there, wouldn't it have been nice to have experienced those biblical events like those people at the first time? And the reality is they didn't have the answers either. Perhaps we're a little bit even ahead of them, because at least we know where the story's going. I was reading something the other day, and the writer made note of the fact that we talk about things happening in stories, and we tell the story of the Bible, but story implies that we know where we're going. We know what the conclusion is going to be. And for these people who gathered on that first Pentecost morning, they were as baffled could be. What is this? Who are these men who are all speaking each, and we understand them all, but we don't speak their language. Right? Why do these Nazarene fishermen speak to us in a way that we can understand? Surely, it's impossible. They must be drunk. I guess when you have no good explanation, any explanation will do. But Peter immediately rejects that suggestion. How can they be drunk? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And as any good sailor knows, you never drink until the sun goes over the yardarm. But in that response, Peter bypasses altogether the fact that the disciples' impairment could not possibly exchange the people's comprehension. I dare say, if I imbibed a little too much, you would have a harder time understanding me than an easier. And I don't think language would help. How can you explain away the miracle of comprehension in this text merely by claiming that the disciples were drunk? But we know the reception of the Holy Spirit changed them. And when we use that word them, it's not just the disciples of Jesus, but it was those who heard Peter's message too. This diverse and chaotic crowd who previously would not have been interacting much with each other than to bump shoulders as they made their way through the crowded marketplace in Jerusalem during a festival weekend, they are melded into one with understanding and knowledge. And how do you describe something like that? The best image that came to mind for me this week was the image of a murmuration. Maybe a new word for some. Thinking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and how we seem drawn to the description of the Spirit as some type of bird, a dove usually, a murmuration seems the best metaphor for the life of Christ. And in case you aren't sure what a murmuration is, Roy has some help for us on that. It is the intricate ballet performed by flocks of seagulls or blackbirds as they rise and twist and dive and dart and converge and separate, each bird doing their own thing, it seems, and yet also part of a much larger whole. And the amazing thing as you watch it is that you don't see any of the birds falling from the sky. They don't seem to run into each other as they do that. It seems that each, while there's no pattern, that it is also completely choreographed. And so it is with the church. At our best, we take our unique abilities of the diverse people of God who gather together in any given congregation, and we unite them together to be a congregation. And then we allow them to soar. Gathering together, then going off to different places with many different purposes, then drawing back together again. It is the image of the church that uses the gifts of the people of God to engage the world in ministry. lifting up the downtrodden, feeding the hungry, advocating for those who have no voice, walking with those who are alone or overwhelmed with pain or grief, or any number of 1,000 other things. And then coming together once more to hear the gospel proclamation, to recharge the spirit that dwells within us, that we might once more go out and be about the ministry of Jesus Christ, a ministry that is comprehended and understood by those we touch because of the miracle and the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Going out, coming in, like the pattern of breathing itself, that we might give glory and thanks for the goodness of God. That, it would seem, is the murmuration of the soul. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen. Friends, the Holy Spirit was sent to increase our compassion and to make us glad to spread good news by caring for those who are in need. May you enter into the discipline of giving as a work of the Holy Spirit within you. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. God of mercy, we give you thanks for all that your bounty creates. The gifts we bring today acknowledge our debt to you and our intent to relieve others of their burdens. Bless what we offer, and bless those who will be shown deeds of power through them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us once more continue in prayer. Let us pray. Wind of the Spirit, blow through your whole church on this day of Pentecost. Blow through us and renew our faith. Reawaken our love for God. And let the flames of your love warm our hearts with trust in Jesus Christ. Dare us to great things, to do great things in his name. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and renew our faith and hope. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and give us energy to serve you as the body of Christ working in the world. Open our eyes to recognize needs for ministry and mission all around us. Open our hearts to welcome newcomers and meet those that we do not yet know. Open our hands to share in tasks that need doing, and open our lips in prayer and praise. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and renew our faith and hope. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and give us understanding for all those whose lives seem so different from ours. For those who are facing situations that we have never encountered. For those with whom we have disagreed. For problems and challenges we face at home, at work, and in the world facing so much turmoil. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and renew our faith and hope. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and bring healing this day for all those who face pain or illness, discouragement or disappointment. For all who know sorrow, sadness, or grief. And for those who feel pressure in these uncertain times. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and renew our faith and hope. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and bring us the compassion we see in Christ Jesus to serve the world you love in his name. Blow through us and refresh us as his faithful followers. Unite us across our differences as together we pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is hymn number 490 in the Book of Praise, God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn 490.
Around thy nature's churches go.
friends, Jesus did not leave us without hope, but sent the Holy Spirit to nurture faith and love in this world. Live this vision in all that you do. Respond to rancor with kindness. Be patient where there is pain. And let your dreams become a reality. And may the Holy Spirit come to inhabit this world with freedom, truth, and understanding. You are not alone. May God keep you and make your prayers bear fruit this day and forevermore. And as we come to the end of worship, over the past 6 weeks during the season of Easter, we have sung Alleluia at the end of worship, which is the song of the church for the Easter season. Since we come to the end of the Easter season, it's time to learn a new piece of music. So, Roy, do you want to pop some words up on the board for us? For those who would like to follow in your hymn book, because I know there are some who would like to follow new things in their hymn book, 267 is the number. But again, it's not quite as easy as the Alleluias, because it's got more words than Alleluia. But this is not hard. So we will sing together. The choir and I will sing together the first time through. Sing Amen. We'll let the choir catch it. And then we will sing it through a second time, and you can join us. And this will be our closing for the next little while. Did I say the wrong number? Okay. My apologies. Number 264.